The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about channeling and intuitive channeling with our special guest, Stephanie Banks. Stephanie is a highly sought-after intuitive channel, mentor, and guide. She helps people connect on the soul level, channeling from the perspective of any soul currently on the planet, souls on the other side, purely non-physical beings such as spirit guides, as well as animals, trees, and even the planet Earth. Wow, amazing stuff. And as a conscious channel, she's both a vessel to receive messages as well as guide to provide depth and context for the information that's coming through. She uses her keen sense of humor, love, and compassion to join her clients in their spiritual experience. And she's a lot of fun to work with. I had her do a little mini reading on me a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun listening to my higher self and my guides. And today we're going to also maybe have a little surprise reading, not of me, but maybe of a household member, and it may not even be a human. And that's what we're going to do today on Guys Guys Radio. So have you ever thought about channeling, and is it possible? How do people do it? Could you do it? Well, the answer is yes, 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 yes. It happens. I've interviewed a lot of people on the show who are conscious channels. They're tapped in. Their messages come from a place of love, from your higher self, from your spirit guides, and from source itself. So I think you're really going to enjoy today's show. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about how you can learn to channel, what channeling is all about, Stephanie's book about her mother's dementia, and how she first got into channeling because of that. So Guys Guys Radio, let's get it on.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's the interview portion of our show. And as you know, this is the place where we have self-improvement, conscious living, and what it really means to be a modern man and woman in today's world, Guys Guys Radio. And my guest today is Stephanie Banks, an intuitive channel and author who works with higher guidance to help people gain clarity, heal emotional patterns, and align with their life purpose. Stephanie's work bridges spirituality and everyday life in a way that's practical, grounded, and empowering. Her book, Joining Joni, Staying Connected to Your Loved Ones Through Dementia and Beyond, is a bestseller. We'll discuss that and the challenges and possible spiritual solutions when dealing with loved ones who have dementia. We're also going to talk about intuition, channeling, inner guidance, and how all of us can access deeper wisdom in our own lives. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Stephanie Banks.
Thank you so much, Robert. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Great. And we're delighted to have you. And first, I want to let everybody know that I had a little mini reading with Stephanie about a month or so ago, and it was a lot of fun and it was super helpful. So we're going to get into all of that, not my reading, but we'll get into what channeling is all about. So our first question is, of course, for listeners who are new to your work, Stephanie, how do you describe what you do as an intuitive channel in simple everyday language?
Yes. So channeling for me simply means connecting to divine energy and divine wisdom. And that's not something that exists outside of us. That's something that all of us are. It's what we have deep within. So when I'm channeling, I am basically getting out of the way as much as is possible, moving my personality aside and my presumptions and my assumptions about the world and my judgments and my personal experiences, so that messages from spirit and from souls and from any energy that is of the highest love can come through and support us in our journey. And what you experienced and what I do is that you can ask any question that you want. You can hear from any soul that you want to hear from, souls that are here on the planet with you right now, we can channel. Your own soul, we can hear from. I can channel animals as well. So if you have companion animals that you'd like to hear messages from or ask questions of, we can do that. And the reason I learned to do this was out of necessity. I had a struggle connecting and communicating with my mom who had dementia. And I was am a clinician by background. I'm a speech language pathologist. But even with that, my mom and I were having such a hard time in our relationship because her pathways were breaking down in her brain as a result of the dementia. So we were not understanding each other, and we were not able to have the sort of relationship that I knew we could have. So I asked my best friend if she would please channel my mom for me, channel her soul, let me understand things a bit better. And it changed our relationship forever. And when I saw what was possible, I decided I wanted to learn to do it for myself and teach others how to as well.
Wow, great answer. And when you we're going to get into the book in a moment, but when your mom was being channeled through your friend, that was telepathically?
I mean, it's. Let's see, you can describe it as telepathically. I just call it channeled. We have a different understanding of what telepathy is, right? It's a sort of the generalized term is like a mind-to-mind communication, but this wasn't really through the mind. This was her soul coming through my best friend who knew how to channel souls and able to express what it needed, what her soul needed from me and from our relationship at the time. So it was, yeah, it was channeled messages
Okay,
that were
so it
coming
wasn't
through.
verbal. It wasn't verbal because she was had dementia. Is that correct?
Right, because yeah, and that's the beauty of soul communication. We don't have to
Okay.
rely on what our verbal capacity is or what our cognition is for that matter.
Now, how did you learn? Obviously, the inciting incident, if you will, was your learning about your mom having dementia and wanting to be able to continue to communicate with her. Did that flip a switch for you saying, I'm going to become a channel? And then what was your path to doing that? And can anybody do it?
Yeah. So I'll start with
Because I know you teach.
I'll start with the last question. Yes, anybody can learn to channel. Anybody that wishes to and is willing to put in the time. So it's not just that you pop in and are channeling, you actually need to learn how to get out of the way, how to identify what energies you're channeling from, what energy you're bringing to the table, and how to move that aside. There's thousands of hours of practice to become a clear channel, in my opinion. So if you're willing to study and practice, yes, absolutely. We're all channeling all the time. Art is channeling, music is channeling, dance is channeling, right? This is just connecting to our divinity. So, yes, anyone can do it. And I didn't think right away that I wanted to do this professionally, but when I experienced what it felt like to have my mother's soul channeled for me, which improved our relationship enormously, I knew that I wanted to learn how to do this for myself on a personal level. Like, what if as a parent, I could channel the souls of my children and hear what they need from me or where I'm getting in their way or annoying them? What if I could understand a spouse better or a supervisor at work? So that I was hungry to use channeling for my personal relationships. And then as I started to learn how to do it, then I saw how it changed everything. And I really wanted to have everybody have access to it. So that's why I teach it now.
Okay. It sounds like, and I think it's similar to whether you're doing something creative or something like remote viewing, with channeling. It's about kind of getting out of the way, you mentioned, I think. And I remember when you were channeling my higher self and my guides, they said to rub my belly and pat my head. And that, I believe, is a way to get your left brain kind of out of the way. so the information can come through. So it seems like a lot of the challenges that people have in terms of getting information, however you refer to channeling, is about we're so confused and distracted and busy that and left brain oriented that it's very difficult to clear that out and bring in what we want to bring in purely. For instance, I wrote a novel and I go back now, I'm like, I don't even know that it doesn't even I don't even I read it, it's like somebody else wrote it because I got out of the way and it came through and the characters had their own, they spoke to me, they had their own decisions that they made. And of course I had to, organize everything, but it was all about getting out of the way. And similar to, Keith Richards said, I was dreaming and I woke up and played the guitar and went back to sleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, I had satisfaction, that riff on the tape. So long way of saying, get out of the way if you want to start to be in a position to be able to channel. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yes, and I love that you brought writing and music into it because those are both very powerful forms of channeling. And we don't know that we're in the way, which is part of the problem. So we can think that we're getting messages or insights because they feel like that's what we want to do or how we want to be. But if we're not actually in the practice, say, of connecting with nature and meditating and nourishing ourselves and making sure we're getting enough sleep and enough hydration and all the basics, then chances are really good that we're not actually channeling from the highest place. And we are enormously distracted, as you said. And so distractions can influence, and fears can influence and negatively impact the messages that are coming through or have a negative orientation to those messages. So it's very important to have an incredible self-care, really self-love, self-compassion. Do your inner work and pay attention and stay awake and alert and bring in spirit every opportunity that you can and thank them for when they show up for you. There's miracles happening every day.
It seems like people are actually channeling every day, whether they know it or not. It's about how turned up their dial is, because we get things like intuition and some knowing. Everybody has some of that. But I guess the question that a lot of people would ask, so I will ask it, is how do we know, and how did you know that you were actually channeling from your guides or spirit or higher self versus the monkey chatter that we all have, because it's very challenging sometimes for people to be able to differentiate, is this me, or I just want to hear this, or how is it real or not?
Yes, of course. That's always the question. And asking that question brings up so much self-doubt because anytime we ask ourselves, how do I know something with some sort of absolute sense? What do we actually ever really know with absolute, right? Like we have science to do things and show us data, and we can study that, but even that changes and morphs. So when do we absolutely know anything? So how do I absolutely know that I'm channeling my guides? Well, I can't necessarily absolutely know it, but I feel it. And that's how I teach. It's based on how things feel. If you are getting messages and they are from the voice of ego, they are going to feel likely more fear-based, more constricted, more tight, not warm and expansive like intuition feels and like the voice of your spirit feels. So you really have to learn how to attune to the sensations and feelings within your body because your body doesn't have the ability to lie about anything. Nor why would it? It's always going to guide us in the proper direction. So you have to learn how to feel it in places of the heart, in places of the gut. Sometimes people feel it in the chest, in the solar plexus. Everybody's a little bit different. But when you are in the presence of what is true for you, you can feel it throughout your being.
And can you train yourself then as part of like the channeling world, if you will, to heal yourself and do work on yourself when you're sleeping, or even just call upon it when you're in the wake state? The reason I answer that, I've been doing some practicing on Hemisync tapes, and they give you prompts to tell yourself about heal, heal, and then you go to sleep. And the intention is it's going to do the work is going to be done where you need the work done, because you haven't trained yourself to call upon your power that we have, that latent power, to do work for you while you're in a sleep restorative state. Is that possible in your opinion?
Why wouldn't it be? I think humans have a limitless potential to heal ourselves, to heal humanity, to heal the planet. And we are energetic beings. We are souls having a human embodied experience. So why would we not be able to? And there's so many bodies of work. So if that particular one that you're following that resonates with you doesn't resonate with someone else, that's okay. You can find something else that is very similar. I think it's really useful to do some of my best work while I'm sleeping. That's very efficient.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, intuitive channel author and just a miracle worker, Stephanie Banks. I'm so glad you're here. You're a lot of fun, and you've taken channeling and made it something that's tangible and not too woo, not so far out there that people can't tap it. Because I think, as we've discussed, everybody's doing some type of channeling every way, every day, in some form or fashion. But let's get into your book. You wrote a book called Joining Joni, Staying Connected to Your Loved One Through Dementia and Beyond. Talk to us about, you touched on it, but what's dementia really all about? And how did you kind of get through and continue a relationship with my mother? As a kind of prequel to that, when my mom had dementia and she passed a couple of years ago, at a certain point, I just figured I'm just going to talk to her the way I usually talk to her and figure it's going in. But she's having a hard time getting stuff coming back to me. So I figured I'm just going to treat her and talk to her like I always did, like everything's good. And then at a certain point near the end, I could see that it wasn't going in there in the same way. But talk to me about dementia. Talk to me about how you started to, get on your journey to get, connect with your mother, and what you learned from her and about yourself.
Okay. Well, from a clinical perspective, dementia is a progressive neurological situation in the brain where our neural pathways are breaking apart, disconnecting. Sometimes it's a demyelination. So we have these things that cover our neural pathways that protect them, and sometimes that's breaking apart. There's lots of different types of dementia, and there's so the origin of what the problem is varies. But essentially, it often impacts a person's ability to communicate verbally or written, or their ability to process information, so to receive communication and information. And in conversation, this is very challenging because my mother was not understanding everything that I was saying. I was not understanding a lot of what she was saying. Sometimes there's jargon that comes out. They'll use words that aren't really words. And you really have to pull in a lot of other clues to help that communication exchange be successful. And what I was finding was that even though I had all this background and training in speech pathology and helping people who have dementia, there was something still missing with my mom. And that was our relationship, like what we had that predated the dementia. And I really wanted that back. Now, I didn't get that back, but I got something better. And what I got that was better was an ability to let go of the past version of our relationship and an ability to meet her in her present moment, no matter what the moment was. And that is what channeling my mom's soul taught me. She invited me. She basically said, "You spend all this time trying to bring me into your moment, your reality, and actually, mine is pretty good." Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I might look dazed or glazed over to you, but sometimes I'm actually having even more interesting experiences than you can even imagine. Sometimes I'm visiting with ancestors or loved ones that I haven't seen in a while. There's a richness at times to where she was going, where I thought we're losing her, we're losing her. Let me bring her back into the conversation. And that was actually very jarring for her and sometimes irritating. And she would express that to me. She'd get very startled by it and then angry or agitated about it. So once I learned to stop doing that, it invited me to join her into whatever moment she was having. Another example that she would exhibit or share in her communication through channeling was that sometimes I would just argue with her. If she wanted to, she said, I need a sweater and we're outside in 92 degree heat.
I've been there.
Yeah,
I've
right? Like you kind of want to say, no, you don't. You
been
don't need a sweater and I'm not going to get it. Why? Why would I argue with that? If at that moment in time, her somewhere in her is feeling like she needs a sweater, then why don't I just follow the flow and go get the darn sweater? And so I learned to do that. Don't question, don't push back. We got into stupid arguments about what time is it or what the date is. Why does she have to know the time and the date with any accuracy? It's just not important. Channeling her helped me whittle down and dial into what is most important. And it always ended up being the same answer. Connection was the most important thing. So, whatever I needed to do to find the way to connect with her, to join her, that's why I titled the book Joining Joni, was going to be useful for a healthy, loving relationship. And ultimately, that's all that mattered to me.
Did your mom go back and talk to you about when she was raising you and what you were like as a younger girl and how she's seen you grow and evolve? And did you have any type of that type of thing, or was everything in the now?
Yeah, I never asked for that. I was more focused on how can we make this relationship work now and going forward. I had children, young children. I wanted them to know the best parts of their grandmother. I didn't want them to have certain memories or have a preponderance of memories that were of her not what she couldn't do. I wanted to find where can we connect with you so we can expand on that. So I never really asked her about, at least not that I remember, about my childhood or things that went on there, but I could have channeling. You can ask anything you want.
Now, has your, I assume, forgive me, that your mom's passed.
Yes.
Now, when she was getting close to that point, did she inform you of anything that she was going to be transitioning or anything like that?
Yeah, her path to towards, walking close to her death was actually very tumultuous. And that was hard for me because in my mind, I had the expectation that she would have a very peaceful passing. She ultimately did, but that was the passing part. Leading up to it was very, very rough. And so I did rely on my best friend at the time to help me through that period by asking her soul, what do you need from me right now? How can I support you right now? And I don't remember the details specifically of what she told me. That was such an intense time and it was so emotionally huge that I can't recall those details, but it helped. Channeling helped me all along the way at all the different phases of my mom's journey. And now, we have a great relationship. We have a, and she's on the other side and she sends me birds all the time. And from the literally the week that she passed, she started sending a male cardinal to my son's bedroom window every day for years. And I don't have didn't have bird feeders. I didn't have anything to, attract birds, but I knew her presence was in the animals in the wildlife. She loved cardinals. She loved wildlife. And so I look for her in there and I hear her voice around me all the time. And it's a beautiful relationship. It's clear now. It's clean. We're not carrying anything heavy anymore.
Has your mom communicated with you anything about what it's like in where she is now?
Yeah, she loves it.
I mean, and I'm not asking for specific details, but are family members there, or like what does she say? What's it like? She loves it. What does she love about it?
Oh, I think she would say she loves the freedom and the peace. It was hard for her walking through her dementia. It was hard for her walking through some of the other mental challenges that she had. And now there's no burden that she's carrying. She is part of the all that has ever been. She is it's just pure love. And this is what I get every single time I channel loved ones on the other side for clients, is this is we really do go home. And it is a beautiful receiving of us, and we become part of the beauty and loving essence and whatever you want to call it, source, God, divine energy. Yeah, that's our home. That's what we are all working towards getting closer to in our lived experience.
Now, is in your opinion, is that her being available to you now, and let's agree that time is not the continuum that we experience in the 3D. If everything's kind of happening at the same time, where did you get any sense from your mom or in your practice as to how people they transition, they visit you? But they're maybe going off to their next incarnation or past incarnations, whatever. How have you gotten any insight through channeling as to how time works?
Well, there is none. Basic, you know, there time we've invented it. So spirit didn't invent it and doesn't operate by that construct. So it's linear. We measure it. Seconds tick by, you know, days, weeks, months. The beauty of being simply a soul in the all is that you can be everywhere at once. If somebody is needing your presence and they live in one place, and another loved one is needing your presence and they live in another place, you can be both places. You can be endless places. So there's no confinement to time or to location. It's non-location. And that's why we can connect with our loved ones anytime we want. We can pray to them, speak with them, receive communication from them anytime we want. They're always available. Sometimes souls will come through and they'll make a joke like, okay, I'm here. I had to leave a card game in order to be here with you, but I'm happy to do it.
Didn't know they had cards in heaven, right? But that's
Right,
good.
that's the joke, you know, like of course they're here with us. There's it's hard to wrap our minds around it because we are so obsessed with time, but it doesn't exist in the spirit world.
What would be your advice to people, and so many of us who have relatives who have had relatives who are going through dementia and how to deal with them? My thing was, I'm just going to talk to my mother the same way I did when she was okay. I didn't know if she knew she had dementia, whatever, but I do know what happened was, and I also want to ask you about this. Forgive me, I'm throwing a lot at you, but when my dad passed, he had Parkinson's for 3 years and then he died. My mom changed when he died, the moment he died, and she went down straight downhill from then. I remember when we went to his viewing, and she said, "Well, he was such a nice man," like referring to him as some guy that she was going to visit in the funeral home, not like that's dad, that's your husband of 60 years. Talk to us about some of that stuff that happens in terms of people when they have that switch flipped. And did it happen for your mom where all of a sudden, boom, the things are working differently for them?
Well, what strikes me as quite possible with the connection that your parents' souls had together was that it was really, really powerful, really deeply, deeply connected and loving. So it's not surprising that without him as an anchoring of sorts for her, that she would have changes like that and sort of maybe disassociate. I'm not speaking clinically, but just view him as something other than the relationship that he was to her. However, I have no doubt that on the inside, n that didn't go anywhere. Like there was full understanding, like their souls were as connected as ever. But how startling for her and destabilizing to have a loss like that and then try to make sense of it in one's mind. So my mother's journey in, through dementia was not quick at all. It was over 15 years in process. And so it was like bit by bit by bit, there was a dropping away of certain abilities that she had. It had a lot of effect, negative impact on her moods. So those would switch at the drop of a hat, changed her personality enormously, but not all at once. So we'd have plenty of spaces in time where she was herself And then we would have these stark contrasts of outbursts or things of that nature that were confusing to us. And it took a very long time to get the proper diagnosis. And this is something a lot of people have experienced as well. My mother's dementia started in her, probably her late 40s, certainly in her early 50s.
My goodness.
And it was a type that was much lesser known then. So they kept misdiagnosing it as dementia. I mean, sorry, as depression instead of dementia. And so they were treating depression, and that was not the issue. And of course, there was no treatment then for her type of dementia, but it took so long before we understood what was happening. And in all those years of misunderstanding, this could have been, it could have been different, of course, if we'd had the information we needed, so we could have interacted with her in a different way, on a different level. But everybody's dementia process is so unique and different. You can line up 100 people with Alzheimer's and they will all be manifesting it in a slightly different way. So I think it's very important to decide what is the most important thing for you to have in your relationship with your loved one and work towards that.
Okay, great answer. All right, let's move on. Something just happened when we were talking. I have a, I know you channel animals, and I have a our cat we had for 15 years left us about a year, a little over a year ago, and was taken by a coyote one night, got locked out, and it was very sad. And I worked with somebody who was could channel animals on my show right when that was occurring, and so we got some information. We waited a while, and we have a new cat now, and is he is so smart where I was just thinking, come on in here, and he came in. I mean, if I call him, he'll come. And I noticed that the way you deal with cats is you don't go to them, you wait till they come to you. So anyhow, I'm going to put you on the spot. He just came over, he's been sitting here, and I want to introduce Saint.
Oh,
And maybe
he's beautiful.
he is. And he's a good guy. He's very social. And is there anything you can tell us about what's going on in his little noggin?
You
I'm going to
want to
keep him right
channel
here.
him?
Yeah.
Okay. I
Why not?
don't, you, the first, I think he wants to get down. So let's let him have freedom of body. He doesn't have to be in the screen for me to channel him. And let me grab my crystals. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you. And this was a little surprise, folks. So,
Yeah, this was not planned, not planned.
And
And you
forgive me,
said,
I didn't mean to spring that on you, but I figured he came over. I used to
yeah.
keep a photo of Suki, our other cat, next to me because apparently she helped me doing shows. And then now he started to come over every time I do a show, and he lays down next to me like he's doing right now. So I figured, okay, the baton's been passed.
Yeah,
And
oh, I
I
miss
thanked
him.
Suki for that because I know, and she's like, you have to deal with him now because he's a very different personality.
Okay. And what'd you say his name was?
Saint.
Saint, Saint. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's channel Saint, see what he's up to as a soul. You know that this is now my show, don't you? You know that I will take the spotlight, don't you? You know that I am better looking, don't you?
That's him.
you know that I am all those things, and this is what has drawn you to me. And I believe in you, dear human. I believe in you so much. There's nothing you cannot do, no one you cannot engage with, nothing you cannot manifest, accomplish, as long as you have me by your side. And not to worry, I'm here. I'm here by your side. So you're wondering if I have the ability to read your mind, and I say, yep, unfortunately I can. Unfortunately I can. I am very present to your thoughts as they come swimming on by, and I would dare say that you may want to rest a little bit more. You may want to relax just a stretch longer. You may want to join me as I am stretched out in sunlight and curled up in warmth and enjoying what it is to be in the body. You should join me more as I am doing these pursuits. No, don't touch me. Don't curl yourself around me. Don't take up my space. Take up yours, but lay next to me, be next to me. Let's rest, let's breathe, let's be together, because I have some things I would like to do for you. I have some ways I would like to assist you with releasing with remembering how to breathe more fully. Yes, I know you are an expert breather. You know all the things about the breath, all the things about bringing the body into a state of relaxation, but do you? Because I have to let you know that the way I have chosen to live fully in this lifetime with my chosen family, and yes, you are that, is to be so fully in my body that there is no other way to be. I do not have any need for consciousness, awareness, or attention in any other direction. So I invite you to join me in this. This is one of the greatest gifts that I can give you. And yes, this is also why I have been coming closer, 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 because I have noticed that you have a little cord of energy that sometimes just waves around. And when I come near, and when I lay down, and when I support you through a center, through a grounding, that cord gets to go deeper, deeper, deeper into the very center of the earth. That's where it belongs. So I am here as a stabilizer of sorts as well. And anything else you might wonder about is for you to wonder about. Like I say, the mind of a human is a very chaotic place to be. I choose not to stay there, choose not to be there, but I indeed am very aware of how quickly and also how creatively yours works. I'm proud of you, my dear human. So very proud.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Well, you nailed him because when I meditate, he always comes into the room and he sits with me. And I didn't ask, he just comes over and we do it together. So he's picked up on my shortness of breath at times. And that's very nice. But what a great personality he has. And thank you so much for that. Thank you, Saint. Thank you for being here. So I didn't mean to throw that one at you, but I figured,
Oh,
you
I
know
will
what? Let's do
always
it.
channel animals. I mean, they are such a pure positive energy to channel that, yes, they're not complicated. It's so different than a human, incarnation.
Well, Stephanie Banks, my special guest on Guys Radio. We still have some more time, so tell us about you do training. And I was on your website and going through your media kit and everything. It's like, wow, the training is very practical. And it seems like you lay it out there so people can really get on the channeling train, if you will, pretty quickly and pretty directly. And you have very, very very structured way of training, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun. Talk to us about your classes and how you train people.
Yeah, well, channeling is fun. I mean, you see how lit up we are just sharing in this energetic exchange together. And that's what spirit is. It's love, it's joy, it's playfulness. And our guides, our spirit guides really want us to stop taking ourselves so seriously all the time. We are just sucking the vitality and life and joy out of everything. So channeling brings that back in, and it brings us back to our true nature, which is to be joyful, playful beings, and to give ourselves time and space to grow and to expand. The way I teach it, there's a few recorded courses on my website. One of them covers using a pendulum. This is actually how I first learned to channel. One of my first teachers taught us how to get yes and no answers with a pendulum, and how to spell out words. So, oh, you wear one around your neck.
Yeah, this is a
Amazing.
biogeometry pendulum, and it's been very accurate.
Amazing. It's beautiful
Thank
too.
you.
And I have a client who actually makes me my pendulums, and they double as jewelry, and they are
Gorgeous.
all repurposed pieces of, like, this is turquoise with an elephant, which I love, and it's a necklace
So
just
beautiful.
like
For
yours.
folks who are listening, just absolutely gorgeous piece of jewelry that can work as a pendulum too. So you don't
Yes.
have to have what I have. It has, the point on it and everything, but it doesn't necessarily have to have that to work for you. And again, the way I learned was having it tell me yes and no. And then going back the next day and doing it because I felt the first time, not with this one, with other ones I've had, sometimes they try to trick you and you have to go back and do it again to get this the straight answer from them. But once you do that and you let it go, it seems like they're super helpful.
Absolutely. It's a way to tap into your intuition, basically. It's a bridge. So your pendulum will never try to trick you. Sometimes, though, we're out of alignment, or our vibe is off, or we're tired. Like, there's a lot of situations in which you probably shouldn't practice because you can
Okay.
get very confusing responses. But nobody is going to try to trick you, at least not in the way that I teach, because I teach how to get to that place of vibrational alignment and frequency that is a match for loving energy. So we don't come to the work, hurried and rushed and scattered and frustrated and like we do so many other things in our life, there's a process to bringing yourself into stable energy and grounded and centered. I right now am surrounded by four dogs. That grounds and centers me, just like Saint grounds and centers you, or Suki, your previous cat. So, and then what's really cool about the pendulum is when you build trust in it, in your ability to read and connect with it, then you can use it to spell out words or names. That is how I learned to spell. Like I could say, can I please have the name of an ancestor who is here with me right now? And perhaps my grandfather's name would be spelled out, or names of spirit guides, or I could ask a question that has a word or words in the answer, and those could be spelled out. That's how I learned. That's how I started to build trust in the process of channeling. I don't use a pendulum anymore because I don't need it, but I do think it's a very important tool to start out with and to build confidence with. It doesn't have to be the only tool, and it doesn't even have to be your favorite, and you don't even have to keep up with it if it doesn't feel resonant with you. But it's where I like to start. I think it weeds out the people who are really ready to commit to their spiritual practice and those who say, this is taking too long, forget
How
it.
long typically, I know everybody's different, but on average, if you put in the work and you take your courses and then work on your own, a ballpark, how long should it take to be able to get some clear messages on a fairly consistent basis?
I mean, I've seen clients in my classes who are able to do so within the first few classes. So if there's not like a time frame, and then there's, and for me, I would say that was probably how it worked for me as well. With a handful of classes, I started to recognize that I was actually getting responses. I was actually getting insight. Now, trusting it is a whole different ball game. Because it was years before I trusted that I knew enough and that my intuition was intact enough for me to channel for others. Years.
Was there a particular instance where you said, like, I got it now?
There was an instance in when I sat in a carpool line waiting to pick up my kids from school, and I was asking my guides, who's my next teacher? I had just finished a very intensive multi-level training, and I was ready to learn from someone else, and I didn't know who that someone else was, so I was asking my team, my guidance team for that. And they said very clearly, stop with the classes now. It's time for you to serve the people.
Oh,
And so
fantastic.
it wasn't that I reached a certain level of my own judgment of like, now I'm good enough or now I'm ready. It was that my team had to step in and say, that's enough with the scholarly part of it. Now you serve, now you practice, now you do it, put into play what you have learned. And so I told them, if that's true, if you really feel I'm ready for that, I will. I'm willing to serve in that way. But I ask that you be the gatekeepers because I don't want to be faced with channeling for energy that is really dense, really low frequency. It takes me a long time to recover from that. And they said, no problem, girl. We got you. We'll make sure. And literally, Robert, literally within 30 minutes, I had a phone call from someone that my esthetician sent to me because she knew the work that I did, but she also knew I was not doing it yet professionally. And the woman on the other line said, I do not know why. I don't know what you do. I don't know why I'm calling you. I just know that Kate said I have to get a session with you. So here I am. What are we doing?
Wow.
Within 30 minutes of hearing from my guides, it's time to serve. They had my first beautiful client.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Stephanie Banks, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, intuitive channel author. The name of the book, once again, is Joining Joni. Stephanie, this has been a fantastic, enlightening conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights, your journey, your work with us today. For everybody listening, you can learn more about Stephanie and her book by visiting her website and social platforms. And we've done it all today. This is Robert Manny. You've been listening to Guys Guys Radio, the place where men and women talk about personal power, conscious living, and real world spirituality. And I want to thank you again, Stephanie, for being a wonderful guest and for the gifts you have and for sharing them with the world.
Yes, thank you so much, Robert, and thanks for sharing Saint with us.
Oh, thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a wonderful conversation with Stephanie Banks. We had a lot of fun there talking about some important topics like how you communicate with a loved one who has dementia. And Stephanie's book about joining Joni goes into detail about the best methodology for that. And also we talked about that and how she kind of got through to her mom and in a way that was loving, in a way that they were on kind of the same page, even though they weren't communicating in the way we usually communicate. Good things to learn about, because there's so many people who are afflicted with dementia or Alzheimer's and so many other neurological maladies. We also channeled my cat Saint. His personality really came through in our conversation. So very thrilled about that, because He is a lot of fun, and I just want to make sure that he's having a good experience in the Manny household, if you will. And it sounds like he's really enjoying himself, and he's kind of taken charge. We also learned a little bit about how you can find out about learning how to channel, and what are some of the necessary tools you'll need, and how you have to kind of work on yourself and do the work to be able to channel. So if you're interested in that, check out Stephanie's website and her courses in learning how to channel. Pretty interesting stuff there. And most of all, once again, we learned that the channeled information that comes through from source or from your higher self and from your guides is all about love and positivity and self-love. And it's not about negativity or fear or anything like that. So if you're getting messages like that, you're not really channeling from source. So hope you enjoyed our conversation with Stephanie. I hope we can have her back right here on Guys Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.